You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
My guest today has been clean and sober in July. It'll be several years. What, Randy, four? Three years in July. And he got right out of the drug court program and involved in Cocaine Anonymous. And they now have four meetings a week in Evansville. He'll share a little about Cocaine Anonymous with us. But I'm excited about this. I haven't heard about Cocaine Anonymous. And Randy, his story of cocaine and crack addiction didn't start till way later in life, till he had had a lot of successes. So I'm excited to introduce you to him. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you for coming on the spur of the moment. Robert had to go to work, so he sent a good replacement.
Yeah, I talked to Robert, asked me if I would be able to come on the program, and I said I would, because that's another way to share sobriety and show people there is a way out of the drug abuse and alcohol addiction.
Definitely, definitely. So tell us a little about you. You were born and raised in Evansville.
Yeah, I grew up on Greener Road, Heckle Road. I went to Oak Hill School, then North High School, graduated in 1975. Was a Husky. I still go to, I like Friday nights going to the football games at local high school. Enjoy that.
Great.
Raised up in a good family, and I worked in the summertime on farms in the area. You know, one of my friends I worked with at in plastics. Him and his family had a farm, so did a lot of that. Good, good upbringing.
So no drinking, no drugging during that time.
None. None. My family did not do any of that.
So then off to college.
Off to college, bigger city, Indianapolis. I went to Lincoln Tech Vocational School. And in fact, I was one of the few people, first person ever to get a scholarship from the Kiwanis to go for a technical school back in 75.
You were the first.
I was, later on I got told I was the first one, I think. To get that, for auto mechanics.
Great.
Lincoln Tech was an auto diesel school. So I went up there, big city, and some of the guys, my roommates, we had a townhouse apartment, four of us together. It was like a company that did this. They came from Ohio. They were more into drugs and alcohol. So on the weekends, it was Partyville, because there was a big apartment complex, and a lot of the people from school, the different schools, were there living. So somebody had a party going on the weekends.
Sounds like that's just the college culture.
College culture.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so you kept it pretty much to the weekends?
Yeah,
and
studied during the week. Yeah, studied every night. I graduated on honors.
Good for you. So really, you were focused on your education.
Yeah.
Weekends were your part.
Very focused. My mom and dad struggled to put me through school, so I feel, if they're sacrificed, then I need to sacrifice.
So you had a good head on your shoulders still.
Yeah, at that time, sure.
So what happened then?
Come out, got a job. I worked at Wright Motors as a mechanic for about 2 years. Did good, got married, had a couple kids, doing the normal thing.
The normal deal.
And I got one of my friends from high school worked for a new plastic company. It was called Complast. And so I got into plastics with him. And then Ferrell Corporation bought them. So I worked 28 years there. Just started on the floor. And I got into marketing later on in my career.
Were you still drinking or drugging at
nothing,
that point?
Nothing.
So after college, you came back, got to work, got married, and no chemicals?
No chemicals, yeah. Okay. Not until, as I was telling you, I got a sleep apnea, which is a disease. And you lose your brain cells, die off. And, I didn't. All I knew about it was this, you have problems sleeping or something. But I didn't realize I'm chronic. And it's over a period of time that the specialist, when I got treated, it's you lose brain cells every night. And I got to where I wasn't sleeping. at all. Even though you lay down, you're not sleeping because you never go into the REM sleep.
That's torture.
And I basically lost my mind function. I wasn't
from not sleeping.
As they say, I wasn't in my right mind. And then that led me to people, places, and things that they talk about. And then that's how the cocaine. Somebody introduced me to some cocaine. At a party in college, they had some. You know, my first introduction, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it was big in the 80s. Cocaine.
Right. It was like, you know,
everywhere.
They were snorting lines of coke.
Right.
You know, and then this friend of mine's, you know, they say, okay, well, you know, you're having a hard time staying awake at work. I was falling asleep at my desk. You know, wow. I traveled a lot. I fell asleep driving twice. Almost run a family off the road in Missouri. So that's why I had to step down, you know, from that job. And the cocaine gave me that high to try to stay awake.
Was that before the sleep apnea diagnosis?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you didn't know what was wrong with you. You just
right.
knew you could sleep.
Not, and then I was losing
that's torture.
My thought process.
Yeah.
You know, I was having sure. struggling.
Oh my God! I can't stand it when I can't sleep.
So it was terrible.
Yeah, that's torture.
People that I've known all my, you know, like for 20 years work with, they come up, I couldn't think of their names and all.
Just tired
knew,
all the time.
I knew there was something wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't go get any help.
Ah, how
that's
come?
The problem. Just stubbornness, you know. Just
what is it with you, man? Is it just hard to ask for help or go to counseling or a doctor?
Exactly. You know,
is it?
A friend of mine and his wife was just, you know, kept saying, you need to go get the sleep study done. And I just ignored that. And then everything just fell out of control.
Did your wife try to get you to
think
about some
help?
Oh, yeah.
I was remarried and yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, we went
just
to some
counseling.
Just
wasn't listening to anybody?
No. No.
And not sleeping?
Not sleeping.
So you got introduced to cocaine right away? Was it a
love
at first sight kind of thing?
Just, I don't know. This started, you know, the crowd. It's the people, places, and things. Those people that I'm hanging around with, that's what they were using. Alcohol and cocaine. And it just, every day, more and more. And so I couldn't work, you know, because of all the problems. So I took a leave of absence and then resigned from my job. I lost my house, everything. Lost everything I worked all my life for.
Jeez, Louie. How old were you when all that happened in your adult life?
I'm 52 now, so I was around 48. 49.
For God's sake. So all your life you'd worked for all of this stuff, and cocaine entered the picture, and you went down fast.
Yeah, I describe it as flushing the toilet. You just get in a spiral, and you go down quick.
Did you know you were going down? Did you?
At a late point, I did. You know, I tried to go into a rehab at Cross Point.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That was through the company paid and program, although I wasn't working, but they still insurance. But I had two dirty drops and you get kicked out of the program with this program. I signed a contract, you know.
Yeah.
So I got kicked. Because, you know, like we were saying, I was trying to do it on my own. I wasn't going to any meetings, 12-step meetings. I had people around me still using. So I'm trying to stay clean and sober, and you just can't do it.
No.
It's the lady, Donna Lilly,
she
told me and her assistant, you just can't do it. We talked, and I thought, well, I'm so disciplined, I can do it.
I'm not like these folks. I
right.
have a job. And
yeah, I did in denial.
Sure.
Living in denial. And it proved... Like they prove what they said. I couldn't do it. I failed.
Yeah, Randy, it's pretty bad when you get kicked out of rehab.
It is.
Because they're
that was
wanting
my
to help.
First shock is when my oldest son started coming to the classes with me. They had a
family night. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so he begged me to go get help, you know.
So everybody else saw what was going on. You just didn't want to.
Denial.
So what happened when you got kicked out of rehab?
I just went on worse, I was losing my house, you know, and then I wasn't nowhere to go and everything, right? And I got down on my hands and knees and I prayed for help. I mean, that was the turning point, praying for God to help me, because I didn't want to die. I had a new grandson, and you know, they moved down to my younger son and his wife and grandson. They moved to Texas, and you know, and I said, look, you know, God, I need help because I want to be there for my. Because my dad died when I was five, and I don't, you know, I wanted to be there for him,
sure,
and my family, my sons.
So you had these moments of clarity where you wanted help.
And it was just a week later or something like that, I was arrested. You know, and that was a godsend because that started my detox. And I was in jail 82 days.
Here in Vandenberg?
In Vandenberg County Jail. I could have got out. I have family. My brother owns a business here, no money. But I asked to just leave me in there until my hearing date just to help me keep, you know, I want to get refocused. And I'm away from the people, places, and things when I'm in the county jail. And then I have a friend.
That's pretty desperate when you want to stay in jail because you know, left to your own, you're right back where
right.
you came from.
Yeah. I wanted to turn things around.
How'd you get busted? Were the cops watching you, or
I don't
even
know
pull
for
over
sure.
for traffic stop, or did they come to your house?
It was like what was it? I don't know exactly if it was drug enforcement. They were looking because it was activity.
They had your name on the list.
Yeah, something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going home and got pulled over
for a traffic stop.
Or just routine. Actually, I was out of my car walking to my house, and they came up.
And searched you.
Yeah.
And found cocaine.
Yeah.
And took you away.
Yeah, took me away. And I didn't really, at that point in time, it was like, okay. You know, because
you were surrendered, it sounds so, like.
Yeah. This is like I kind of knew it might happen. Maybe this is the way it's going to happen, you know. I never resented that.
You didn't resent it?
Never resented it because I knew now I could start over.
Almost a relief, I've heard people say, when they get busted.
Right. You know, and after a while, I heard about the some different programs in the drug court.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked to get, you know, into that, you know, and my attorney was Cole Banks, and he said, okay, he talked, I guess, to the prosecutor and said, mm-hmm. let's put him in. So I was put into forensic diversion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Miss Mulberry came and interviewed me, and she accepted me into the program with Judge Wayne Trotman,
yes.
Superior Court.
Yes.
So that was 18 months, four phases that started in September, I guess, 06. And I'm actually... Since it was a felony it's a 3 months if you're in forensic diversion.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm on the second part of that, 18 months of DAPS with this drug abuse probation services.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Apps and DAPS.
Apps and DAPS.
Yeah.
So that will be, I'll be completed that with September 25th of this year.
Well, congratulations. So do you think drug court is a good reentry for addicts and alcoholics? Do you think you'd have done okay without it?
I don't know if I would have made it.
Yeah, I bet not.
Because I prayed, you know, and I just feel this is God's way that He said, okay, this is what you have
Somebody
to do.
Somebody had to hold your hand for a while.
Yeah, because you do. It's an intensive program.
Mm-hmm. And it's very recovery oriented. So.
Right. The rehab part of it is going to Southwest Indiana, you know, the mental stepping stone.
Right, right.
So I went through the program there. It's
Thank
Matrix,
God for Stepping Stone.
Matrix 1,
yeah.
2, and
yeah.
Drug Court Group.
Just focused on your cocaine addiction.
Right. You know,
recovery.
Until you talk about everything. And you learn when you're in those groups. You listen to your friends. You get close with these people in recovery. Like some of them, we mentioned a person this morning that was in treatment with me
right.
at Stepping Stone. The
There's
outpatient.
A trust level that really
yeah,
is strong.
You get a very strong bond. One of the guys that was in with me, he because we all had to get felony swabs, like a DNA test, and he did something in his addiction, and he's now in jail. And you know, I ride him at the jail. You know, and it's sad. He was doing good. He was right there with me, you know, passing everything and
clearing away.
Because of that,
yeah,
he had like 10 charges, and he's only got like they were already dismissed like 6 charges. So he, you know, because God's grace, he was working the program and doing good. So that's helping him at
mm-hmm.
this point.
Help him have a better attitude going back in
everything, and with. you know, we don't know exactly. He's going through the process, mm-hmm. you know.
But you get close to people, very
real
close. Well, thank you for sharing and your openness. We're going to take a few minute break right now and come back, and then I'd like for you to tell us about Cocaine Anonymous and anything else about recovery that you think we need to know and that the community would be a benefactor in knowing.
Okay, glad to.
Well, thank you. We'll be back, Radio Rehab. We're going to take a few minute break.
Hey, you. Yeah, you're listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
Real psoriasis sufferers get real results from Dermarest.
The psoriasis on my knees, the itchiness can drive you crazy. I have tried everything. Dermarest is the best product I have ever used.
Dermarest psoriasis provides complete relief, removing scales, letting healthy skin grow. And now Dermarest is improved with a unique zinc complex that moisturizes and reduces redness. Feel your best and look your best with Dermarest.
Hello, Dermarest. Goodbye, psoriasis.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning again. We're back with Randy talking about cocaine and crack addiction, and now he wants to talk to us more about the recovery from crack cocaine. That is a very powerful drug, a very powerful compulsion, takes people down very quickly, but there's a lot of good things happening that can help people stay clean from cocaine and crack, right, Randy?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about some of those things. And
well, I'll get into the forensic drug program, and then you're doing the 12-step program. Okay,
like
step
AA,
stone,
and
doing AA,
NA,
NA, Narcotics Anonymous, and then Cocaine Anonymous, which is the Cocaine Anonymous group. We had the meetings at Mount Olive Galilee Baptist Church, and Robert L. Sanders is the pastor there, and the church is very supportive of people that are wanting rehab.
What's the name of the church again?
Mount Olive okay. Galilee Missionary Baptist Church.
Okay.
It's at the corner of Line and Powell Streets.
Downtown.
Downtown, Evansville. Yes. They've had the Cocaine Anonymous meetings there, Deacon James Mays and LaDonna Mays, his wife, for about 7 years, I think. They've been having the meetings there. And when I worked nights, after I started helping them out, be a chairman on Monday mm-hmm. mornings. You know, when I started working, I worked at Meriquil through custom staffing.
Yes.
You know, did a lot of meetings. And so I got a sponsor, as the 12-step program recommends, and Deacon Mays is my sponsor. So, and then he's a deacon at the church, so it was all full circle.
New people.
My spirituality, it was coming back. That's one of the biggest things is that I, you know, believed in God and the Bible, but this what I went through took me down, and I realized that I couldn't do it on my own. I needed God's help. God's grace is the only reason that, you know, I'm alive, because I have some heart damage, high blood pressure. All this is from the sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a killer. It's like one of those silent killers.
Slow one too. Yeah.
Right. You know, so I had that support group, people at the church. I mean, you know, when I first started in, you know, drug court, I lost everything I had. All thing I had was I did have an old Toyota Camry. Thank God I had paid cash for that, and a friend of mine had that. Got that going, and also transportation, and I got a little efficiency apartment to live in. So once I paid those bills, I mean, I barely had any gas money. And mm-hmm. people at the church was just so supportive there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a testimony one time that I had 50 cents in my pocket, gave that into the donation basket. I knew I had enough gas to make it up to Miraquil at the foods plant on Highway 41. You know, it's like 15 miles. Mm-hmm. Knew I couldn't make it back home, but I just knew that God's grace was going to, something was going to happen. And there was a couple sitting in front of me, and before church was over, they turned around and handed me a check for $10, said, "God, put this on our heart that you needed help." And I just feel that I've never seen those people back at the church ever again. I've been going out there almost like 3 years, and never again did I see that couple there. And I just feel that, you know, those angels.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing in my mind.
Because that financial bankruptcy is so embarrassing, the spiritual bankruptcy. And when you've worked all your life and cocaine and drugs have taken it all away from you and you're broke, that is so embarrassing.
Right. You know, that's one of the biggest things right now is getting back that respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I recently was appointed as the GSR of the KISS group. It meets at Impact Ministries. You know,
you might want to say something about what GSR is, KISS is, where.
KISS group is the AA group. It meets at Impact Ministries on Thursday at 7 o'clock. And the reason that I started going there and kept going to that is because the Stepping Stone people that are in detox come there.
A lot of newcomers.
And I just feel that's a way of giving back to help people. So our chair in meetings, and then more involvement, and then they asked me to be the GSR, which is a general service representative for the group, and I had my first meeting, home group meeting, last Thursday after that meeting, and having someone that cares and involved, the attendance level's gone up, and of the home group members, more people have joined.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody sees
recovery is happening.
And it just takes a little effort. Focus. My background is I was a marketing manager, traveled the country for 10 years. So as we talked, structure and all, mm-hmm. I've had that in my life. So I'm bringing that. That's something that I can bring to this group.
Sure.
And I really believe in helping people. I love to talk to people from Stepping Stone that they're there. One of the persons that's in your drug court now,
mm-hmm.
met him and his wife, and helping him. You know,
so can meth addicts come to Cocaine Anonymous?
Anything.
It's mainly
on Tuesday night, Tuesday evening at 5 o'clock. We have a relapse meeting.
I see that.
And it's for a lot of things that the treatment program, the steps that I went through at Stepping Stone. We're doing that at Mount Olive on Tuesday night. Now, a lot of people go to meetings around in Evansville, but this deals with relapse recovery.
Okay.
Deacon Mays has a lot of information from his background, and we use these workbooks.
Great.
We give out a couple pages out of it. Like, we're doing one book right now, Stages of Recovery. And next Tuesday, if you want, I take it home and I jot down. It's going over what I learned in Stepping Stone for me.
You need the repetition. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'll jot down those what I've gone through, and then take that to the meeting, and then we all share.
So, and it looks like there's meetings every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yes.
Every day, almost during the week at Mount Olive.
Right,
and during the day,
a lot of people don't know. We're going to try to get that message out, and this is the way God's using me to help get the message out.
I sure didn't know there was a strictly Cocaine Anonymous meeting.
Right, and actually, we're working on. There's a new halfway house that's coming about, and we're also working with those people We had like an interview with them, and they want to have a Cocaine Anonymous meeting there.
Sure.
These people are coming out of the institutions, the prisons.
The jails,
to give them,
So do you still see a lot of cocaine and crack, or are you seeing more meth in the recovery rooms?
Well, it's meth is pretty big, you know. It just depends on like the areas
mm-hmm.
that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
Certain areas, meth is stronger.
The rural areas definitely were meth in Warwick County, Boonville, a lot of meth.
Southern Illinois, because a couple friends of mine are over there
Yeah.
Meth was, that's big over there also.
Yeah.
I think that's up in the inner city.
It's all speed. Cocaine and meth are both amphetamine.
Yeah, I don't know all the chemical, you know.
Right, right.
I didn't know all that much. I dabbled with meth this a couple times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just something I figured, why bring another drug in?
Yeah, for sure. Coke took you down enough.
Right, exactly.
So, Randy, if people want to find you, they can either listen to you on the podcast at lisasifcares.net. You'll be on the podcast on the World Wide Web.
All right.
Do you want to give a phone number for a contact for people in the community that might need some help with a cocaine or crack addiction?
Yeah, there's a – well, my phone number is 455-3275. And then most of the – like a Stepping Stone.
Yes.
They have book, you know, literature – all the at Old Stone, CNL,
all the 12-step meetings, the drug courts,
to give that, and then that's where you can. There's meeting sites and times. I mean, every day, 7 days a week, there's somewhere to go.
That's right.
For a meeting.
Well, thank you for coming and talking to us about Cocaine's Anonymous and your recovery from cocaine, and congratulations a little bit early.
Thank you.
On your several years of sobriety.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, we have a sobriety party on that.
Yay, yay. I wonder if we have a caller. Hold on a sec. The light's on. Is there a caller? Hello? Oh, maybe not. Well, I guess we have to sign off just as we're getting started, Randy. That's how it goes. It goes fast, doesn't it?
It did.
Well,
I'm very grateful. Very grateful for God's support and all the people in the recovery programs of AA, NA, and CA, you get a group of, we call it family.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming. And Radio Rehab, we'll be back next week with more stories of recovery and experience, strength, and hope. So stay tuned. We will talk to you then. Until next Saturday, don't forget to do the next right thing.